B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Today on Talkin' Rock, it's guitarist Frank Hannon from the band Tesla. As their new album, Shock, is dropping on March 8th. It's only their 8th studio album, and Frank says the fans have differing opinions on what they've heard so far.
Some fans are loving it, and some fans are tripping on it. But you know what? Hey, it is what it is for now, and it is what we made.
It's well known that Phil Collins from Def Leppard produced this record, but Frank says he did much more than that. We also go back to the start of the band and discuss the 80s.
The record companies were definitely trying to make us the Motley Crue at the very beginning.
We talk about how Tesla is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, sort of. The Grammys and a ton more today with Frank Hannon from Tesla on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Ah, yes, a good one on tap for you today with guitarist Frank Hannon. Always great to talk to. Frank is just a really super good dude. And you'll hear that today coming through in the conversation. Real fast, want to plug bpodstudios.com. That's kind of our, I don't know, our home base for all the podcasts here at Beasley Media Group. So if you get a chance, go check that out. All sorts of great podcasts on there. If you like this one, you might like, for example, like The Sound Of, featuring my friend Steve Black and Ann Carlini as well. Different things like that that we have on there. If you give Rick a podcast for children, you got Nerd Radio on there. You know, there's even E-Games podcast. So bpodstudios.com. In the meantime, let's switch gears and head to Frank Hannon from Tesla on tour right now. If you're anywhere near the Motor City area, they're playing the Motor City Soundboard coming up on Wednesday, the 13th of February. Of course, they got the new record drop, and we talk a lot about that as well. And Frank, like I said, just real easy going, real easy to talk to. And he's on today. It's Talking Rock with Frank Hannon. Then we've got rock news with Al Beck today. Coming up afterwards, we're talking about the Grammys, which as I record this, just happened last night. Ozzy back to ICU over the weekend. We got some Motley Crue news and also a band, you know, like I talk about Tesla, 8 records in 35 years, 8 studio albums. We have a band, I think, looking to record or put out their 5th, but we've been waiting and waiting and waiting. Anyways, we'll get to that during rock news with Al Beck. In the meantime, it's Frank Hannon from Tesla today on the Talking Rock Podcast.
What's up, Meltdown?
How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm pretty good, man. I just woke up, you know, and every day I wake up, I feel very lucky to be alive.
That's that a truer statement couldn't be had. There's no question about that. So good to hear your voice again. The Tesla machine getting ready to crank things up here. The new record, Shock, coming out and all sorts of stuff, huh?
Yeah, we've been on tour supporting it. We've been playing new songs. We've been playing a lot of old deep tracks that we haven't played in years. And there's a great vibe with our fans going on right now. So, you know, we feel very lucky, man, to be doing it all this time, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, after all these years, I was thinking about that. And only the 8th studio album, that seems kind of, pardon the pun, shocking.
You know, well, we've got Times Making Changes and a couple of Greatest Hits albums, a couple side albums like Twisted Wires, you know, Reel to Reel. There's a lot of other oddball things, too. But, yeah, this one is more along the lines of our original type stuff.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I did talk to Phil Collins last year, and he mentioned, you know, the record and stuff. And, of course, now it's going to be dropping coming up on March 8th and whatnot. So tell me your thoughts of working with Phil. You guys have known him, obviously, for a long time.
We've known Phil for a long time. And, you know, I actually wanted him to produce our album when we first got back together in 2000 because I had done some shows with him in the 90s. And he's such a great friend and got positive energy. He produced this album, and we learned a lot, you know, a lot of different ways of approaching things. You know, like, for example, we didn't think we could ever record an album on the road, which 90% of this album was done in hotel rooms and dressing rooms and stuff like that. And we recorded it with a portable laptop. And, you know, and the attention to detail that Phil really puts into it is what he learned from Mutt Lang. And, you know, we used to just kind of go in and just throw it down live. And Phil took the approach of what he learned with Mutt Lange. So it's a definitely a different album for us. There's no doubt about that.
Well, it's a different album, and it's also a different time than when you guys were recording, like, you know, when the band first, you know, started to break back in the 80s and whatnot. Now you can record all over the planet and from different locations, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's also a different time within the band. I mean, people don't realize how hard it is to make an album when you got five guys in a band. I mean, why do you think the Beatles broke up? You know what I mean? So they had four guys, and they were only together for, you know, 5 or 6 years. But it's very difficult. So for a band like us that's been together for 35 years, you know, you need an outside coach to come in and really help you direct it. And he did a great job of it.
Yeah, you got to, you can't throw around the words Yoko Ono too much, right? Is that?
Well, it's just, you know, like each one of us has very strong opinions. And when you get five strong opinions trying to work on a song, it can be very difficult.
So are you saying that that Phil kind of, you know, helped you guys, it kind of helped you, was the glue that kind of kept you guys together, at least like for this album and stuff, to help you record this record?
Absolutely, dude. Yeah. I mean, no doubt about it. Yeah. And, you know, a band has to have that. Just like I mentioned, the Beatles, they had George Martin. You know, you got to have an outside, you use the word glue. I like to use the word coach. Maybe mediator would be a better word. Counselor. You know. It's a funny process, man, when you get five hard-headed people together.
Yeah, I can imagine that. It's funny because I was just talking to Dee Snider over the weekend, and I don't know if you're familiar with his latest record, but it was kind of written and produced by Jamie Josta. And I said to him at one point, I said, do you feel like you put your career in the hands of Jamie Josta? And he says, absolutely. So just talking to you, it almost seems like you guys said to Phil Collin, hey, you take this in the direction you think we should go in.
That's exactly what we did, and that's why it sounds so different, you know, and some fans are loving it, and some fans are tripping on it, but you know what, hey, it is what it is for now, and it is what we made, and it's, in some ways it's great, and in some ways it's very different, you know, but we definitely gave him the keys to the car and said, okay, you drive us to where we're going,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it was good. And now, are you talking about Jamie Johnson, the country
singer? No, Jamie Josta from the band Hatebreed.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that would be an interesting combination. I think I understood you.
Speaking of Johnsons, Damon Johnson just texted me. He said, "How is he such a badass guitar player?" That's what Damon said. So.
Oh, right on, man. I love Damon. I just jammed with him at the NAMM show, man. I told him, I said, "Hey, I told Damon, how is he such a badass singer, man? I mean, you know, people don't realize what a great singer he is." Excuse my language. Can you bleep that out?
No, you're good, man. You're good. Yeah, no, that's the thing with Damon is that he's pretty well-rounded. And I know that, you know, you did that the couple records last year from one place to another and whatnot. And one of the things I was kind of surprised or, I don't know, surprised to read about, but is that you wanted to, like, kind of improve your singing. You've been in this business for so long and stuff, and you're still trying to improve at your craft, eh?
Oh, definitely. That's what I love about music is it's a nonstop well of learning. I mean, you can continue to improve your style, your sound, your different things. You can learn, you know, by going back and learning what some of the old school people did. You know, I mean, I was just watching this movie on Netflix about Hendrix and Jimi Hendrix and just some of the things he was doing, man. And I want to try it on my guitar when I get my guitar in my hands later today. You know, you can never stop learning. That album, I took it on as a labor of love to really develop my lead singing voice. And because lead singing is different than singing backup. It's a whole different art there, you know, to tell a story. And, Damon Johnson's one of the best at it, man. I love his voice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's music is a lot of fun for that reason. You can never stop learning.
Now, I was going to ask you about that. Did your improved singing, or at least your attempt to improve singing, transfer onto the new record at all?
I did a lot of backup vocals on this new album. And did a lot of, Phil was having me do a lot of layering and stacking vocals. That's like a Def Leppard style. But Jeff Keith, he did all the lead vocals on this record. And, you know, he sounds amazing, man. He's, you know, I've been singing with Jeff Keith for all these years. and he is just, you know, he's a naturally gifted singer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just curious, not that you did any lead singing, but I was just curious, like, if you noticed improvement in yourself just singing in backups and different things like that with the release of the couple records last year.
I have definitely noticed an improvement in our live show. On this tour, I am doing a lot of singing with Jeff. Jeff and I got together before we left on this tour for about a month. Right, we started right around Christmas time, and he came over to my house and we practiced harmonies and practiced digging up some old songs that we haven't done in a long time. And I'm singing a lot of parts with him, and I feel like my vocals have come a long way since I did that from one place to another. Album volume set. You know, I did 20 songs on that freaking thing, man. Everything from I covered Seal,
right?
Covered Black Sabbath. I covered Allman Brothers. I covered a very wide range of vocalists. And you know, it was Dickie Betts that told me. You know, he said, "How do you learn to play guitar? You learn all kinds of licks from different guys. You learn B.B. King. You learn Chuck Berry. You learn Jimi Hendrix. You learn Eddie Van Halen. You learn all these different styles of playing. Well, do that with your vocals." And I did. I learned a ton of different stuff with singing, and it helped strengthen that vocal cord muscle up a little bit, I think.
Yeah, especially when you're getting ready to go out on tour and stuff like that. I know you guys got this tour going on now. Of course, you're going to be here in Detroit coming up on Wednesday, Motor City Casino Soundboard. But you're also going to be taking the boys from Def Leppard. You're going out with them on to tour the summer, right?
Yes, we got some Leppard dates up north in Canada, and we're going to be headlining as well all through the year. Paving our own way, man. We're looking, hoping to find a great band to tour with, but so far we haven't made any connections. But you know, right now we're going to just be headlining all year and supporting Def Leppard on some dates up in Canada.
Yeah, you guys playing any festival dates or anything this year? Do you know of?
You know what? I have not seen any festival dates, and there's a couple cool festivals that I'm bummed that we're not doing. The only festivals we're doing are over in Europe.
Okay. Yeah. But
there's, like, some great festivals I've seen, you know, Rocklahoma, of course, and, no, I think we're just making our own way, man.
Yeah.
We're having to forge our own path, you know, and it's kind of how it is with Tesla. And we were talking about that the other day. Tesla came out in the late 80s. You know, the last half of that decade when the glam scene wasn't happening, we were doing our own thing. And then in the 90s when grunge happened, we were kind of doing our own thing too. So we kind of didn't really fall into any of those categories. We've had to kind of just make our own way, which is a great thing, actually. It's just a lot more work.
You know, do you ever feel like maybe sometimes you might get unfairly lumped in with some of the 80s bands?
I don't think it's us being unfairly lumped in, but I do think that the 80s decade gets unfairly judged, and I think there was a lot of great music and a lot of fun times that came out in the 80s, and I think it's unfairly criticized sometimes. But I think the whole era, the whole decade was fantastic, As far as us, sometimes, you know, they call it a glam band or a hair band or whatever, but, you know, our fans know the difference. I mean, we're just a group of guys that's blue-collar, soulful rock and roll is what we do, you know. I mean, we do acoustic guitars mixed in, and we play bluesy kind of stuff, you know. So, I don't know, you know. And it's all, like our song says, it's just all music.
Yeah, I always consider, like, you guys and, like, even the guys from Cinderella. Now, by looks, Cinderella, at the beginning of their career, what, you know, you'd think that this is a glam band, but they were just a straight-ahead rock blues band also.
Yeah, Tom Kiefer's great, man, and you know, he's real bluesy and soulful. You know, the record companies were definitely trying to make us into Motley Crue at the very beginning. You know, and Motley Crue was wearing all the crazy clothes and all that shit, but... you know, we just kind of just did our own thing, and you know, that's kind of like what Lynyrd Skynyrd and the Allman Brothers and those bands did, man. They just did what they loved to do and just did it, you know, naturally, and it paved their own way.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're just talking a few minutes ago about your singing prowess and whatnot. And this morning I was at the dentist preparing to talk to you today. I was my son was in the dentist chair and the TV was on next to me or whatever. And I heard a commercial with the with a song from Queen on it or something. Have you seen the Queen biopic?
I saw the movie. Yeah, I did see it.
Yeah, what'd you think?
Well, you know, I mean, I love Queen's music, and I've always known their story. And I thought, on one hand, it was really fun to watch and see that. And on the other hand, I thought they kind of did a campy job of it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's really difficult to portray somebody as awesome as Freddie Mercury, and the guy did a good job. He won a Grammy for that, didn't he?
I think an Emmy or whatever they win for acting. Yeah, you're right.
I think I saw it last night on the news. He won something for it. So
Maybe he did. Yeah.
You know, hey, man, I met my man. He's a sweetheart, and I'm happy that people are appreciating that music.
Yeah. Speaking of the Grammys, did you watch any of it last night?
I've only watched the aftermath of it. I didn't watch it, no, but I've seen the postings. And, you know, one of my things that I'm really happy about is Gibson Guitars was very active in the Grammys. And Lucas Nelson and the Star Is Born soundtrack won a lot of stuff. And he's one of my favorite artists. He's Willie Nelson's son. And Gibson Guitars was really involved in it, and they're making a comeback now that they've got new management.
Right.
And really happy about that.
Yeah, that's cool. Hey, not to get off the topic here a little bit, but did you know that Jim Dunlop Sr.? Did you know him?
No, I've met his son, and I've met the folks over at Dunlop, and I did know that he passed away, and I didn't realize what an innovator he was with the guitar effects and stuff. You know? So, yeah, that's a bad loss there for Trinity, but he lived a long life, man. He had a great, great life in his career, and we're all going to go someday, bro. Holy
yeah.
cow.
Yeah, speaking of that, you know, I was kind of bummed out. I was kind of laying in my bed last night watching the Grammys, and they showed the memoriam thing where they showed all the artists that had passed away, and of course, they conveniently skipped over Vinnie Paul, it seemed like.
Yeah, that kind of sucks, man. You know, well, you know, hard rock and metal music always gets the short end of the stick. I mean, I can't believe that Def Leppard was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, great for them, you know, but most rock bands just get the shaft.
Yeah, it was a long time coming for those guys. And did you guys just play recently in Cleveland? Are you in Cleveland right now?
We're in Cleveland right now, yeah. We're getting ready to head to Detroit here in a couple days.
Yeah, so do you guys obviously have been in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame before. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, the Eagles and there's some great artists in there. And what I did is I took one of my guitar picks and I kind of tossed it up over the thing there. Now it's up in the rafters. So Tesla is actually in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I knew you were going to say that. That is so funny. Were you with some of the guys at the time? When did you do this?
Oh, man, this was like 2 years ago. here, we're going to get in the Hall of Fame right now, and I just flicked a pickup over there and landed up above.
I mean, that, I don't know, has that thought ever crossed your mind about you guys possibly going to the Hall of Fame? I mean, I don't know, it's, you know, there's a little partnering for DJs and stuff, and like, as far as I'm concerned, even though I've done this for 29 years, almost to the day, yesterday was my 29th anniversary, my first on-air shift, I've never even given it a thought.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've never given it a thought either, but someone told me that they thought if we ever did get in the Hall of Fame, it would probably be for our five-man acoustic jam album, because that was so different at the time or whatever. And, you know, I don't really trip on that stuff too much, man. But, hey, congratulations on your long career, man. That's a record in the radio industry, man.
So man, I'll tell you. I think I told you last time, I grew up in Buffalo, and I've been here in Detroit for 23 years, but I used to sneak in the radio station the overnights. The overnight guy would let me in, and I'd make tapes. I told you this last time. And Modern Day Cowboy was always one song I had to put on my tapes.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that one still gets them going crazy, man. We play that live. Everyone loves it, you know, and And thank you for spinning it, man. It's a good one, I have to admit.
Yeah, that one really hits hard. There's no question about it. So you guys got this tour this summer with Def Leppard. Of course, the new record comes out on March 8th. When people pick up this record, what's something that they're going to notice about it right away?
They're going to notice that it's really produced to the hilt, man. I mean, Phil Collins didn't hold back at all as far as production. And the mixing of it is really punchy and powerful. And, you know, the first song is called You Won't Take Me Alive, and we're playing that opening our show on this tour to support it. And it's got a lot of energy.
Yeah, that song, Shock, it kind of starts out in the beginning like a little bit of, like, Closer from Nine Inch Nails. That was the first thought I had.
Yeah, you know, that, and a lot of our fans were kind of giving us grief over using a drum machine on our record. That was a Phil Collin and Brian Wheat idea that, you know, Brian loves industrial music. You know, that's the thing about making an album is every guy in the band, I was describing this to you earlier, has strong opinions and ideas. And the trick of a producer is to put all those ideas onto the pizza. It's like making a pizza, okay? You got your, you know, you got your crust, and you got all these ingredients you could throw on top of it with from each guy in the band. And, you know, Brian loves, if you listen to Brian's solo work with Soul Motor and stuff, he loves that kind of industrial kind of stuff. So that was his pepperoni he threw on there.
Well, as long as nobody in the band's throwing pineapple on the pizza, I'll be happy about it.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
Hey, man, well, listen, Frank, we'll cut you loose here. Appreciate it. Go over there and see your the Ode to Tesla there in the Rock and Roll of Fame, I guess. And we'll see you here Wednesday in the Motor City. And, man, good luck on the record. I can't wait to hear the whole thing, man.
All right. Hey, come and see me at the gig, man. Come backstage and tap me on the shoulder and go, hey, dude, it's me, Meltdown.
I may just do that. I might surprise you the day before Valentine's Day. So, hey, I really appreciate your time. Safe travels, and thanks so much, man.
Thank you. Goodbye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Well, he's back, Tom, once again for Rock News with Al Beck today. And, man, I'll tell you what, it's been like forever since we've done one of these things.
I know, yeah.
A week and a half.
Yeah, a little while, yeah. You know?
And we've got some, by the way, before we get into Rock News, I just want to tell you about this. We got some really cool interviews coming up this week. Had a chance to talk with Dee Snider on Friday in a live question and answer session at this thing here in Metro Detroit called Astronomicon, put on by the guys from the band Twisted. Mm-hmm. And I've got some really cool audio from that Dee has given us permission to. Use an upcoming podcast, so we'll get that going here coming up shortly. I've got Damon Johnson once again in the program from Brother Kane, and of course from Black Star Riders and a bunch of other things. And then I'm scheduled to talk with Nick Mason from Pink Floyd coming up here by the end of the week. So
how do you feel about doing, because you do a lot of interviews, obviously that's the whole basis of this podcast, but you've been doing the moderator thing here and there, because you also did for Tom Morello, right?
Yeah, Tom Morello. No, those things are actually kind of fun. It's always nervous because you're in front of a group of people and you're not sure how it's going to go, but Dee Snider's guy said that usually what happens with Dee is he told me this afterwards. He says usually what happens with Dee is that he'll let the moderator go for like 5 or 6 minutes and he'll just take over the whole thing.
Yeah,
he goes, but man, he must have really liked you because you were in total control and you steered him in the right direction. So
nice.
That was cool. That was nice for him to say that. But we got some really cool stuff. Yeah. He talks about his new record, PMRC stuff, some of his movies, and it's funny because the people that were in the room. Many of them are younger, and nobody asked about Twisted Sister.
Right.
They all ask about, like, the PMRC thing, which, of course, was way before some of these people in the room, his movies, different things like that. So, that's pretty cool. But,
nice, yeah. Well, you know what? If we have you moderate a Q&A for Ted Nugent, you don't even need to show up.
Yeah. That's true.
He will take care of the whole thing.
Hey, Ted, what's going on?
Yeah. Just and then that's it. Then you can just leave.
Yeah, that's about it, too. I have interviewed Ted several times. Yeah. He's one of the easier ones. There's no question about that.
Yeah, it's a different feel, though, moderating and doing the actual interview yourself. Because I assume, like, you'll ask him questions, but a lot of it is also the crowd gets to come up and ask.
Well, for this one I did, I kind of asked him the questions and interviewed him for like a half hour before we took anything from the crowd.
Because
I wanted to kind of get some, you'll hear it in the interview coming up, but I wanted to kind of I wanted to set the table.
Yeah, like a baseline.
Talk about his new stuff. Yeah, talk about his new stuff, talk about different things here and there.
Well, he told
some fun stories and that.
Yeah,
so
it's a different feel.
Yeah, no doubt. So anyways, but Al, what do you got today? We got the Grammys last night.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remembered that the Grammys were on last night after I didn't watch it.
I know, and it's so funny because I'm the same way. I saw something on Twitter like around 9 o'clock. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right, the Grammys.
Yeah, I'm honestly like that with pretty much all award shows. But, you know, I figure we would rattle off at least some of the rock and alternative winners. So I'll start with Best Metal Performance, which wins to High on Fire for Electric Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Best Rock Song, St. Vincent walked away with that for Mass Seduction. Best Rock Album went actually to Greta Van Fleet.
Yeah, and that was for that EP. That's always kind of boggles my mind because that EP's been out for so long now. And it's like, you know, they put their new record out last year. And that, you know, it's like, when is that up for? Is that next year? I don't know how this stuff works.
When the eligibility is.
Yeah, it's just stupid.
All of the awards, it's not the 1st of January. It's always weird. It's on the calendar. So I'm not sure when any of it is.
Same thing with the movies, too. It's like half the movies you see awards for, and you're like, when did this come out? Oh, it came out yesterday.
Right.
I don't understand how this works.
Yeah, exactly. But it is nice to see Greta Van Fleet walk away with that.
Yeah.
Best Alternative Music Album.
By the way, for 1 second, Greta Van Fleet also, they lost Best New Artist to someone who won't be relevant in a year. So,
yeah, exactly. You know. Yeah. But the Best Alternative Music Album went to Beck for his album Colors. And a big one that I definitely wanted to mention today, Best Rock Performance actually went to Chris Cornell for When Bad Does Good. And obviously, Chris not around to accept the award, so his children went up on stage to accept on his behalf.
Yeah, there you go. So, anyways, yeah, these award shows are they kind of get stupid. Then they got the memoriam thing,
yeah,
which I was just talking about with Frank Cannon, where it's like, you know, Vinnie Paul, of course, wasn't included. Either was Ollie there from
All That Remains.
Yeah, All That Remains.
Yeah,
there's a couple other ones they missed too, and I get that they're going to miss some of them. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get that, you know, Ollie from All That Remains.
Yeah,
okay,
he
fine.
Should have been included, but you can kind of forgive it a little bit.
I mean,
but
he's
Vinnie
not
Paul.
Like Aretha Franklin. Right, but Vinnie Paul, they were nominated for a Grammy 4 times.
Yeah.
And he sold millions of records.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, just give him the 2 or 3 seconds you give the drummer, the session drummer from Muscle Shoals. I mean, you know, really. And it's like, not to take anything away from any of those other people, but it's like, really? You know, they had some record reps in there, and Vinnie Paul's not in there? Seems a little bit like a slap in the face.
Yeah.
So, anyhow.
You know, it's an oversight. I mean, definitely.
Well, apparently they put something on their website that included him or whatever. And, you know, quite frankly, if Vinnie would probably say, well, who cares?
Yeah, probably, care. Yeah.
But yeah. I just thought it was kind of bogus. I'm just watching it just for that.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, I'm watching. I'm not going, oh, yeah, it's right, I forgot about that. I'm like, where's VP? Where is he? Not
well,
there.
To be fair, he actually probably would have been watching hockey instead of the Grammys.
He would have been. There's no question about that. So, anyway, switching gears, what do we got? Got Ozzy information, too, huh?
Yeah, you know, so going to another music legend, Ozzy's taken ill, and he had to cancel a bunch of European dates. And we're getting some updates here and there from Sharon and Jack, but he actually had to spend some time in the ICU meltdown.
Now, I was under the impression that he went to the hospital early last week, and then he was kind of doing better, and then he had to be rushed back to the ICU. Is that what happened? Or?
Yeah, that's as I understand it as well.
Yeah, because it looked like he was going to be on the mend. That sucks that European tour is canceled, because that was Ozzy with Judas Priest opening, man. What a killer bill.
It would be a great bill, but man, you got to take care of yourself, you know, and well, Ozzy hadn't for so long. But
you know, Ozzy's 70 years old. He ain't getting any younger. And of course, when you get up to that age and you start talking pneumonia and stuff like that, you know, they
which is one
take
of the
that.
Things they were trying to avoid and make sure and stop it before it became a pneumonia. That's why part of the hospital visit was.
Yeah, so, well, good luck to Ozzy. It's, he's one of those guys, you just can't put Ozzy down.
No, you really can't. You can't. But looking on a positive note, how about some new music from Motley Crue, Meltdown?
Yeah, there you go. I saw that coming up in at the end of the month there. I think we should have something. But I think at the end of March 22nd or so, we're going to have 4 tracks released.
Yeah. So now they did their whole big final tour and all that stuff. And the retirement plan was from touring, not necessarily new music. So
they said that, yeah.
Which is what they had said. So this putting that reminder out there before the trolls want to start hitting us up on Twitter or whatever. But yeah, these songs are actually for the biopic coming up, The Dirt, Confessions of the World's Most Notorious Rock Band. And it does look like the first of those four songs are going to get debuted later this month.
Yeah, I think Machine Gun Kelly from Columbus is going to be in part. Of course, he's playing the role as Tommy in the movie, which is a pretty good role for him to play. He's thin and tall and tattooed, just like Tommy is.
Yeah, it fits. Yeah, aesthetically, anyway.
Yeah, right. And so, anyways, he's gonna have a little part in one of these songs or something. So that could be kind of cool to give Motley a little bit of a newer flavor.
Yeah.
So, you know, with a guy like Machine Gun Kelly in there. So, and speaking of new music, the guys from Tool, they're coming out with a new record maybe in June or July or August of 2026.
I think you may be jumping the gun a little bit there. But the last time we talked about this on the podcast, it was like a meet and greet, and it was that footage filmed from inside a coat or something.
Right.
It was talking about maybe this April. We've got an updated window of release, this time from Maynard James Keenan, who, let's face it, it's kind of all resting on him, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
But he is now projecting somewhere in the ballpark of mid-May to mid-July, we should expect this new Tool album.
All right, well, we'll see what happens. I'm not holding my breath, that's for sure.
No.
But it has been a long time since Tool. What was that footage we played last time with Danny Carey, right?
Yes, yeah, I believe so.
It was at NAMM.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was, interesting.
Yeah, it's been since 2006, since the last album.
You know, I don't understand why it's such a secret. You know what I'm saying? It's like maybe the record's not done. I never understood, too, why it takes so long to make a record. You know, back in the day, you know, Kiss would put out like two records a year.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's like, you know, every 12 years or something. Now,
is it just me, or does he have a total different approach to Tool than even his other projects? Like a perfect circle, like, yeah, we're working on an album, they'll go in the studio, they'll lay it down, they'll release it, and there's none of this none of this craziness around it. But Tool, for some reason, it's not on any streaming services, it's all this crazy, you never know when it's coming out, what's going on with it. They didn't used to appear on stage. I mean, Tool's like this whole other animal. It's, you know, it's totally treated differently.
Well, they're a lot more recognizable than they used to be. They're you know, back in the day, you know, all their videos had like Claymation and different things like that, and then they weren't even on the records. Then, you know, then the thing came out with like the 3D glasses. They were finally on the record or whatever. Yeah. And you know, I think I told you a story about where the one Tool record went on sale at midnight at Tower Records, and one of the guys was actually in Tower Records, and fans were just walking by. I didn't even know who he was.
No idea.
I don't know which guy it was, but I've heard that story before. But anyways, we'll see what happens as far as Tool is concerned. You know, this is going to be, I want to say, is this going to be their fifth studio album?
Something like that. I think it's going to be called Chinese it's going to be Chinese Democracy.
That's
or
already been
Chinese
taken.
Communism.
Yeah,
there
that's already been taken. But, you know, just talking to Frank, you know, they've got 8 studio albums in 35 years. You know, and then, of course, like he said, they got, you know, live, you know, different things and, you know, whatever. But, yeah, the guys for Tool, man, they just take their own sweet time.
Yep.
So there you have it. So what else you got? Anything else?
That's it.
What's your socials there, brother?
At Albeck Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right. At Meltdown, WRIF, and at Talking Rock with and the number one. Hey, thank you guys so much for checking it out. Like I said, we got a bunch of interviews coming up here. If you do like this podcast, please, by all means, it'd be nice to get a 5-star rating, write a review if you get a chance. And of course, join us on the social media as well. Even Al.
Sure. Yeah.
And thanks so much for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.